I'm not sure if you had an opportunity to see the Togiak Refuge float that was a part of the Beaver Roundup Parade a couple of weeks ago. Whether firsthand at the parade or in the photos that were shared on our Facebook page. I tried my darndest to connect it to the Beaver Roundup theme of live well, laugh often, love much. Though it wasn't easy, and I'm not sure how successful I actually was in doing that. One thing that was and has been fun is recycling some of the parts that go into the float. Even though the float changes each and every year, some of the lumber used to construct it has remained the same year in, year out. Also, I have reused some of the parts, including some water waves painted on plywood, which have now been used on about half of the floats that I've put together. It's fun to find ways to reuse things in a different and creative way. That said, there was a float over a decade ago, before I started working at the refuge. A whole lot of people put in time and effort to create it, and it's possible that some of you who have been around Dillingham for that long, or longer, and frequent the parade every year might remember it. After all, it's not often you see a paper walrus the size of a large SUV. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. From the photos I have seen, the year was 2005 and the theme was Winter's Alive in 2005. Refuge staff created a walrus out of PVC, chicken wire, wood, brown butcher paper, tape, and cardboard. It was the length of the cab portion of our Suburbans and perhaps 4.5 feet high to the head. It was, or perhaps I should say is, a very impressive float. I corrected myself to the present tense because we still have that walrus. It still hangs from ropes from the ceiling at the refuge hangar. I guess the mindset was that after all that time and effort that went into it, it would have been a shame to just toss it aside. Frankly, I can't argue with that line of thinking. The walrus, as a species, is an important one to Togiak Refuge. Indeed, I would argue it's something to the effect of one of our signature species, so to speak. It is featured prominently on the official Togiak Refuge logo, and it's one of the major species we manage the refuge for. Not everyone knows this, though, as I'm reminded when I go to events like the career fair that took place earlier this week at Dillingham High School. One of the questions the kids had on their list of questions to ask of participating agencies dealt with wildlife species found on Togiak Refuge. More than a few didn't know that we have walruses. Even for those that don't know that not only do we have walruses around the refuge, but an abundance of them at times, almost everyone, universally, recognizes a walrus when they see one. There is just nothing else quite like them. And yet they are still something of an enigma as far as scientists are concerned. A number of years ago, I spoke with Dr. John Trent, a marine mammal expert who worked in our regional office in Anchorage at the time. He said that over the course of his experiences with walruses, he had found that you can show a picture of a walrus to small kids in Africa, and they can tell you what it is. Yet dedicated scientists who do nothing but study them 24/7 still have many unanswered questions about these unique animals. Again, referencing appearance, probably not many people would fail to recognize one. We have a marine mammal fact sheet in our office, produced by the regional office in Anchorage. One fact on that sheet that I think is humorous is that the scientific or Latin name for walruses, Odobanus rosmarus, translates to tooth-walking seahorse. How's that for descriptive? Using that as a starting point, let's talk about what a walrus looks like. For those of you listening who have either just moved here from the inner reaches of the Amazon or are offspring from the castaways of the SS Minnow and only recently rescued and returned to mainland civilization, walruses are large animals. That float wasn't all that bad in terms of accuracy for size. Adult males can reach lengths of 12 feet and weigh as much as 4,000 pounds. Females are smaller, though they still can be 10 feet in length and weigh well over 2,000 pounds. Their body shape begins large behind the head and a thick NFL lineman, mob henchman type of neck and tapers down the length of the body. Two flippers are found at the front of the body, and there are flippers at the rear. They are a part of a group of marine mammals called pinnipeds, named for those flippers. The word pinniped can be translated as wing or fin foot. Walruses appear hairless, though they're not. The only hairs you really notice at a distance are the facial whiskers, for which they're famous. They have a short snout and lack external ears. Perhaps the most notable physical characteristic, the one that makes them so easy to identify, is their tusks. Walrus tusks are elongated upper canine teeth, and they are present in both males, called bulls, and females, called cows. These tusks are longer and thicker on the bulls and can reach over 3 feet in length on mature bulls. Tusks serve a number of functions, including fighting, dominance, and courtship displays for the females. All walruses use them to open and maintain holes in the ice and to haul out onto the ice. Directly above the tusks are those whiskers I mentioned, called vibrissae. There can be up to 700 vibrissae growing in over a dozen rows, with individual vibrissae growing over a foot in length. Vibrissae are attached to the muscles in the face and are supplied with both blood and nerves, making them an extremely sensitive organ that's used to detect and identify objects on the ocean floor. I also want to briefly mention the skin, which is highly wrinkled and thick. In fact, up to 4 inches thick around the neck and shoulders of mature bulls. Young walruses are deep brown and get lighter in color as they age. Older bulls are nearly pink. They can also appear to be different colors depending on the external conditions. For example, because skin blood vessels constrict in cold water, they can appear almost white when swimming. I've seen photos that biologists have taken of walruses swimming in the waters off the coast near Cape Pierce that show them a ghostly white. After they haul out on shore, their color changes. Another skin characteristic, and one that's found on mature bulls, is the presence of large, visible bumps called bosses. These bosses are found near the neck and shoulders. Walruses are mostly bottom feeders, with different types of clams making up a large part of their diet. Other food sources include invertebrates such as sea cucumbers, crabs, snails, and worms. Walruses often feed at night, and the vibrissae are heavily relied on to locate food sources. They feed intermittently. They are able to dive to around 250 feet in search of food, and they can remain submerged for as long as a half hour. Even so, most dives last for less than 10 minutes, with 1 to 2 minute surface breaks between dives. They prefer to feed around shallow shelf regions, such as what we have near us in the Bering and Chukchi Seas, and they forage primarily on the ocean floor. One of the interesting things about them is that there's only one species of walrus. Most animals have many species, such as the different types of bears or deer, for example. Not so with walruses. There is just the one, with but two recognized subspecies. Those found in the Pacific and those found in the Atlantic. The principal differences between the two are in the longer tusks and larger body size of the Pacific walrus. They are a creature of the Northern Hemisphere, and their geographic range completely encircles the polar basin. Closer to home, near Alaska, walruses can be found seasonally from the Bristol Bay region all the way to Barrow. There is a migrational pattern that they follow that is tied to the seasonal advance and retreat of the sea ice. Closer to home still, and why walruses are one of the things that I think about when I think about Togiak Refuge, is the fact that they use the western coastal areas of the refuge for hauling out. Haul-out sites provide walruses with a place to rest after feeding runs in the Bering Sea. Cape Pierce is one of only two regularly used land-based haul-outs for Pacific walrus in all of North America. Cape Pierce is heavily used during certain times of the year, and herds in excess of 10,000 animals can sometimes be seen there. This is something I've mentioned on here before, in sharing about the uniqueness of the Cape Pierce area, or while talking about the junior high camp that we have there each summer. One of the reasons for holding the camp there in the first place is to expose students to marine wildlife, including walruses. Judging by the fact that I still run into fair amounts of students at career fairs that are sketchy on the idea of walruses around our area, they are probably going to continue to be a good topic in the coming years. And speaking of the coming years, I'd like to think that one of these years I'll find a way to put to use that paper walrus in another parade. Work of that quality and scope shouldn't be a one-shot deal, in my humble opinion. Hopefully one of these years, our Roundup theme will lend itself to bringing down the walrus and parading it through the streets of Dillingham one more time. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.